Interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters. Every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology.
In 2003, the U.S. government even renamed suicides, because there were so many happening, self-injurious behavior as a way, I think, both to deflect the kinds of conditions that gave rise to this type of a desperate act, and also to portray those who would be attempting suicide as sly, sly tactics in the war on terror. And this is what we see.
One of the generals offered a quote shortly after the news was revealed, and he basically slammed these individuals who took their own lives as using some kind of an unfair tactic, asymmetrical warfare.
Right.
That's bizarre.
It is bizarre. For no other reason, when people are in custody, they are no longer able to engage in warfare of any sort. That's kind of a obviously recognized fact of war itself, is that mm-hmm. once people are in custody, they are no longer, warriors.
Yeah. Well, and we have this, again, it takes on bizarre dimensions, because the government responds to hunger strikes by these detainees by force feeding them, ordering doctors to do so. And that's a standard here in California that we no longer permit for ducks and geese.
Well, I think on that score, the suicides, the successful suicides really are a disaster for the Bush administration, because for a long time people had been saying when if any detainees would die in custody in Guantanamo, there were no contingency plans, and this would sort of be the worst case scenario because of the fact that they had not been tried, why they were there, etc. And so having, over 100, I think 130 prisoners collectively were hunger striking starting last August, it was really out of an anxiety not to allow any of them to actually die in that particular means that prompted force feeding. But the way in which the force feeding was done was apparently quite brutal, stuffing the feeding tubes down their nose without any kind of lubricants and restraining them while being fed and so on.
And if you can recall, I know you're working on a book about Guantanamo and the treatment of these detainees. Didn't Donald Rumsfeld have some remarkable comments about the hunger strikers, kind of saying, maybe they just want to lose a little weight?
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's just like the self-injurious behavior comment or the asymmetrical warfare comment. It's just this persistent refusal to take any public responsibility and to actually deny the kinds of dehumanizing conditions, and then also to constantly be trying to get the public to see these people, even in custody, as dangerous, sneaky, sly, etc. So,
well, they're bad guys, Lisa. They're bad guys.
Well, in fact, since 2000, back in 2002, one of the things I think has been a little underreported to the public is that the CIA had sent a top-level analyst in 2002 just to assess who these worst of the worst were, and said at least 70, if not 90% of the people had no connection to terrorism, or if anything, were like very minor figures in either the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. So mm-hmm. most of the people presumably are just either were there by mistake or You know, and I would assume that that very much contributes to the sense of hopelessness and desperation that manifests as suicide attempts.
We're talking with Lisa Hajar, a professor of law at UC Santa Barbara. And Lisa, did you hear the president's comments in the news conference yesterday?
In terms of just saying that it was a shame that Guantanamo was damaging the United States' image.
Well, and he suggested that he would really like to close it, but mm-hmm. he offered no specifics about that.
Mm-hmm.
He then talked about the prospect that he wants to get these individuals into a military tribunal system,
mm-hmm.
but there have been no substantive efforts to develop that process and to put people into that kind of a pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And then he suggested that some of the people might be sent home, but gosh, we've got to be sure that they wouldn't be sent home to something worse. And you know, it's just mind-boggling
right.
the way they attempt to spin this, and additionally, the way most Americans seem to passively accept it.
Right. Well, I mean, just the things you've just mentioned, I mean, for example, first of all, going to the point of sending people somewhere, but maybe not worse, you know, these Chinese Uyghurs, there was no one who would, they were obviously got to Guantanamo by mistake, and once it was necessary to, or the Bush administration realized it was necessary to release them, but couldn't send them to China for fear that they would be tortured in China, because the Uyghurs are, you know, sort of a discriminated minority, and the only country that would take them was Albania. So these Chinese-speaking Uyghurs off in Albania, and now it's been reported that Albania wants to deport them, and it doesn't seem to be any country where they can go. Apparently, 96 Afghanis are about to be sent back to Afghanistan. That's something that the Afghani government has been clamoring for, is to have, you know, to the return of the Afghani prisoners. But as far as the military tribunals or the military commissions go, and that's what the reference Bush was making, that there's a very important case that's waiting to be decided now in the Supreme Court, Hamdan v. Bush,
right.
about the legality of the military commissions. And in fact, you know, one of the two main lawyers for this is a military lawyer. He's a military defense lawyer who's absolutely appalled at the, you know, sort of illegality of these military commissions established for Guantanamo. So far, only 10 prisoners at Guantanamo have actually been charged, and all of them have been, you know, have very minor, if any, roles to play in terms of the, you know, attacks on the United States or the war on terror.
Lisa, we're going to take a quick break and return. I want to talk about Moazzam Begg, who is featured in a front page story in today's New York Times. He is a British citizen of Pakistani descent who was released from Guantanamo Bay and is now speaking out about it. We'll talk about that and about a powerful court ruling in New York yesterday saying that John Ashcroft was within his rights to detain non-citizens on the basis of religion, race, or national origin right after 9/11. We'll continue with Professor Lisa Hajar in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, hear Linda Gerchick, the number one REMAX commercial investment agent in Arizona. Hear how Linda analyzes and acquires cash flow properties, finances, and leverages her strategies for investors. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Heard all over Northern California, Sunday mornings at 10. For more information, log on to rockrollerrealestate.com or call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair.
We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
It's 22 minutes past the hour. We continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest, Professor Lisa Hajar, who teaches law at UC Santa Barbara. And we're talking about the unconstitutional detention of individuals at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And Lisa Hajar, today on the front page of the New York Times, there's a lengthy profile of a British citizen of Pakistani descent named Moazzam Beg, B-E-double-G, and he was first held for 11 months at Bagram in Afghanistan and then transferred to Gitmo and finally sent home just a few months ago, a year and a few months, January of 2005. And the description in this lengthy article is of a guy who had some friends who were Islamic radicalists, and he made a trip to Pakistan. After all, he has relatives there. He'd been to Saudi Arabia in his late teens, and it was mostly guilt by association. And he's got some holes in his story. Apparently, he was convicted of fraud in England, and he's writing a book that omits that chapter of his personal history. But he comes across as a guy who was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and maybe it was his phone records or an NSA wiretap that connected him to people. But it appears that he spent almost 3 years in our custody without any real serious offense.
Well, most of the people, many of the people who ended up in Guantanamo who were picked up originally in Afghanistan, you know, the U.S. Military had a mandate to basically get any non-Afghanis, you know, to suspect any non-Afghanis, so British citizens, any Arabs, even people from Pakistan who would be caught in Afghanistan, or and also some were transferred from Pakistan as well, on the suspicion that, you know, the somewhat silly suspicion that any, you know, Arabs and others would be there in order to be participating in, you know, Al-Qaeda activities. Mm-hmm. And so lots of folks ended up in Guantanamo on that very flimsy suspicion and or were sold for bounty, you know, to northern Afghan warlords who then right. turned them over to U.S. custody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't have a lot of time here, but if there's one case or one individual who you're aware of that you'd like to profile, just as an anecdote for our listeners, why don't you go ahead?
Well, the two people, and they're not necessarily connected to Guantanamo, are Maher Arar, the Canadian citizen who was sort of stopped in Kennedy Airport and then sent off to Syria for 18 months where he was tortured and then released. And the other is Khalid al-Masri, a German citizen who was right. kidnapped in Macedonia, ended up in Afghanistan where he was tortured for months and then dumped in Albania when they realized they had the wrong guy. Both of these individuals have been trying to bring civil suits against members of the U.S. government on the grounds that they were tortured. And so far,
al-Masri surfaced with his story inconveniently while the Secretary of State was on what I call the Rice-a-Palooza torture tour of Europe.
Absolutely.
Trying to deny that we had detention centers in Eastern Europe and that any of the renditions such as al-Masri's had occurred.
Indeed. So I think that he was released right, or his story broke out right when the black sites in Europe story was revealed, and much is coming out about that. But I would say that your listeners should look into the cases of Khalid al-Masri and Maher Arar, because they're shocking, and as they're unfolding in the U.S. courts, it's, you know, the shocks go on and on.
And your comment on the ruling by John Gleason, a judge in the United States District Court in New York yesterday, that the government has wide latitude under immigration law to detain non-citizens on the basis of religion, race, or national origin, and to hold them indefinitely without explanation. This is the class action suit related to individuals who were detained after 9/11, and to my knowledge, not a single one of them was charged with anything more significant than immigration violations.
That's true. Basically, immigration laws, you know, do allow for, I mean, the way the immigration laws are being used by the U.S. government after 9/11 is to function like criminal or preventive detention and criminal laws, but they have much less safeguards built into them, including no right to non-discrimination. So, I mean, this is just a manifestation that no one can win in the U.S. courts if the courts themselves are going to tolerate this, this sort of misuse of immigration laws to do things to people like preventatively detain them and racial profiling and so on.
Well, and we can have no confidence that on appeal, a right-wing Republican court will overturn this ruling, because the courts of appeal have been packed by Bush, and we know from the overturning of the requirement for knocking before entry by police with a warrant that this court is going to move sharply to the right under Justice Roberts and with his new pal Alito.
Right. Well, I would say that sometimes court cases, even ones that lose, can galvanize the public into awareness about what's going on, and one can just hope that perhaps someday the political winds would shift and laws would be written to, you know, sort of reverse these trends.
Yeah.
But that's a very optimistic hope.
I like your optimism.
Yes.
And finally, Lisa, in response to the three suicides at Gitmo, provocateur and alleged commentator Michelle Malkin responded with a simple phrase, boo freaking who. Mm-hmm. Do you have any reaction?
Well, I think that many of these kind of right-wing pundits, O'Reilly and Malkin and others, have, you know, sort of studiously unable to understand, you know, sort of the issues at stake and play to a very racialized, somewhat public ignorance about the rule of law and
Indeed.
What's going on with these people. So.
I'm sorry we're out of time, but we'll talk again. Can I add you to my Rolodex?
Absolutely.
Lisa Hajjar, professor of law, UC Santa Barbara. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters on KRXA 540 every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. We choose topics that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. You've heard what Oprah said about using intention to change your life, how celebrities like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Angelina Jolie are spotlighting important global issues we need to care about. We've had programs on the great art of storytelling and how best to love your pets. Listen to all our shows archived on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. You can also download them to your favorite MP3 player. We love to bring you programs that are truly meaningful, subjects that keep you thinking, feeling, knowing, and growing. My books, Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway, can be found at Amazon.com. So keep listening. We'll keep talking. Don't miss my show, Joan Kenley's Talking Matters, every Saturday at 3.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Coming up about a half hour away, Jason Leopold checks in with an update on the Rove story. Right now we're joined by Sam Ferguson at the Rock Ridge Institute, established by Professor George Lakoff. Just a few weeks ago, Sam Ferguson joined us to talk about the framing and language regarding the immigration debate in this country. And we had a very interesting conversation about the framing and language used by the right and the way that progressives and the Democrats in Washington have attempted to modify some of that. And Sam joins us today with some new information on the Republican approach to this issue. Sam, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you, Peter?
Not too bad. A little jet lagged. I spent the last few days in Washington, D.C. Got back late last night.
But, the blog convention.
Yeah, well, it was the bloggers were in Las Vegas, the yearly COAST. Many of those same people came to Washington. It was called the Take Back America Conference.
Oh, right.
And a lot of interesting things went on there. We might touch on a few of them over the course of our conversation. And yesterday I did a program from the Center for American Progress.
And the folks there had discovered or been handed a secret Republican memo from the new majority leader, John Boehner, related to today's debate about the war in Iraq. And I mention that because it's similar in tone and attempts to arm Republicans with both strategic ideas and specific language to use to further their not only their talking points, but their presumed political strategies. And you folks have come across this memo written by Frank Luntz. And Luntz, if people are a little fuzzy on who he is, he's one of the top spinmeisters, pollsters, and message consultants for the Republican leadership. And you don't see him so much on television anymore because the folks at Media Matters successfully shamed NBC into stopping the practice they had of putting him on to run these focus groups right on TV during election campaigns. So if you've seen some of those, Luntz is a very clever man. He's very smart. He certainly knows language and framing. And I found it a bit insidious when he would do those shows with Chris Matthews on MSNBC and pretend to be objective.
Well, that's exactly right. About 3 weeks ago, we released this paper on immigration, as you said, and we looked at the framing of immigration. And by that, I mean we looked at the values and the agendas that are implicit in all of the language surrounding immigration. So we looked at undocumented immigrants. We looked at illegal immigrants. We looked at border security. We looked at all these phrases and these frames, and we tried to bring out and present to the public what values underlie all of these words and ideas. And that's what we do here at the Rockridge Institute. We have a deep commitment to honesty and values and openness. When we do framing, what we try and do is show what's in the words, show the public how implicit agendas sometimes structure the language that's being used. Now, there's a good way to do framing, and there's a bad way to do framing. And it's interesting. A few days after we wrote this paper, Frank Luntz came out with a memo to his allies in Congress and the conservative and Republican establishment, instructing them on what language they should use in the immigration debate. Now, he understands framing very well. He knows that there are values in words. He knows that there are hidden agendas that go beyond the mere surface frames and hit at deep frames that we all share. And by doing this, Luntz tries to mask over and hide important truths that need to be brought out in service of conservative agendas. So we pointed out that there's a lot more in the immigration debate than just the immigrants. We should be concerned with foreign policy, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
After all, where are these immigrants coming from? Lots of them live in very, very poor circumstances, and sometimes they've been thrust there as a consequence of U.S. trade policies, for instance, that
mm-hmm.
focus on how much money we can make for U.S. firms. Now, no surprise, Luntz's memo didn't mention any of that. It had no recognition of human rights. You know, none of these broader progressive concerns we should be interested in. And he tried to mask those over. The entire memo is about stressing how illegal these people are, how bad the immigrants are, what they do to the country. What he does is spin. That is, he's trying to take a sticky political situation and get out of it with words. There's a big split in the Republican Party between the sort of free marketeers who want to exploit the illegal immigrants to have a cheap labor pool.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the nativists who are worried about a cultural invasion and that, you know, our institutions are utterly threatened by the immigrants. And these two camps in the Republican Party don't see eye to eye. And what Luntz has come up with, he says, well, let's just talk about prevention. And if we talk about prevention, maybe we can keep the illegal immigrants here that are here already, but the focus should be on stopping illegal immigrants from coming in. And what this does is it tries to tie these two camps together.
Right. And what I find interesting, and Sam, this is a 25-page memo, and I've had a chance to peruse it briefly, and I'm sure you're more steeped in it than I, but I was struck here by item 17, And let's work this over just a little bit. It reads, illegal aliens should be given a second chance to come here and earn their status legally. And this is the bizarre idea advanced by the people who are flatly opposed to anything that they call amnesty. That's the real third rail in this debate. And so they imagine in such a far-fetched manner that we could persuade 5 million people, roughly, to leave this country on a promise that they might be able to return as a guest worker. And so here he spins the policy position in the face of the polling that he presents. So there's a bar graph here. And the poll question was, the best approach for dealing with illegal immigrants already here, 47% said a guest worker program, but only 14% support the idea of actively deporting this pool of roughly 5 million undocumented workers who are in the country right now. And, of course, that is inconsistent with the policy prescriptives of the most extreme, and that would be the Sensenbrenner bill from the House.
Right. Well, that, you know, to be honest, that's not even the most egregious part about this Luntz memo. The Republican Party recently has made gains, as Luntz says in this paper, in the Hispanic community, and he's very, very worried that sort of overheated rhetoric about how supposedly awful illegal immigrants is going to be not very appealing to Hispanic Republicans. Surprise, surprise.
Right.
And
he's thinking about Prop 187.
Exactly. He directly contradicts himself. So here's a quote from the Luntz paper as he's speaking to anti-Hispanic nativists. This is what he tells Republicans to tell the anti-Hispanic base. Now I'm quoting, so this isn't my words. I can't put the quote up there on the radio. Let's talk about the facts behind illegal immigrants. They do commit crimes. They are more likely to drive uninsured, more likely to clog up hospital waiting rooms, more likely to be involved in antisocial behavior because they have learned that breaking the law brings more benefit to them than by abiding it. Okay, keep that phrase in mind. You got that in mind?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here's what Luntz says that Republicans shouldn't say to Hispanics. Remember what we just said before.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he's saying not to say to Hispanics. Illegal immigration has a corrosive impact not just on legal immigration, but also on all of our society. Illegal immigrants operate outside the law. They are a part of an underground economy and an underground society. They are more likely to commit crimes, more likely to drive uninsured, more likely to clog up hospital waiting rooms, more likely to be involved in antisocial behavior because they have learned that breaking the law brings more benefits than abiding by it. Sound familiar?
Yep.
It's the exact same words. He's urging, he's talking out of two sides of his mouth.
Yeah, and this is in a box. This is in a box in this document entitled Words That Don't Work with Hispanics. And then in the very next entry, number 19, it reads Republican Hispanics are responsive to the language of deportation, but Democrats are not.
Exactly. Just
one more line. Judge your audience carefully. Removal does not fly with Democrats, and championing it as a solution will make you seem hard-hearted and out of touch. Yes, we want compassionate racists to advance the most extreme impractical immigration policies possible.
You know, we really deplore these tactics. When Luntz and the Rockridge Institute, we both deal with language for our living. We look at language, but the similarities end there. You know, we are interested in being open about what we say. We want to help progressives communicate their deepest values to the public and understand how public discourse at times serves to manipulate and undermine progressive values. Luntz is doing the exact opposite. He's using language in service of Republican victories, and we just don't think that this helps democracy, it doesn't help honesty, and it certainly doesn't help the public discourse and debate.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking at some of the other entries here. And I want to return to the whole concept of amnesty, because I don't believe that what McCain and Kennedy have proposed in the Senate is truly amnesty. But that is how it is being spun by opponents of that compromise legislation. And this, of course, tests very well, because when you ask Americans, do you support amnesty? It's a hell no kind of response. Why is that term so loaded, and why is it so effective in blocking a reasonable approach to a complex problem?
Well, that's a great question. Let's look at the amnesty frame. Amnesty is the pardoning by some benevolent and supreme power of somebody or some wrong that has been done, right? And within the amnesty frame, those who are granted amnesty have done something terrible and awful, right? So when you use the amnesty frame, this goes along with the phrase illegal immigrants. It presupposes that the illegal immigrants are awful. They're these horrible people, but for some sort of greater social reason, a benevolent power needs to pardon them. Well, let's look at what they've actually done. Most of them have come across the border either on a tourist visa or over a fence or on a boat or on a plane. They've committed a very technical violation. They haven't robbed anybody. They haven't harmed anybody. And once here, the work that most of them have done more than makes up for that very small technical violation that they've made, right? They work for substandard wages. They're forced into an underground society. They can't come above board for fear of deportation. And they do lots of important jobs for all of us for much, much, much less pay than most of us would be willing to do the work for.
Mm-hmm.
As a consequence, they provide us with cheap goods. And we use illegal immigrants day in and day out. Our whole society is structured on these undocumented immigrants living amongst us. So amnesty doesn't really apply to these people. I mean, if anything, amnesty should be given for the gross crimes that employers have committed in trying to skirt labor laws by hiring these people. So the amnesty frame presupposes a lot about it that just isn't factually correct.
We're going to take a break and return with Sam Ferguson from the Rock Ridge Institute. If you have a question or comment, you can join us now, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free from Eureka or anywhere else within the sound of my voice, 1-888-579-2540. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ball game. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
We'll dedicate this one to Frank Luntz. I've never actually seen him with his pants on fire, but maybe he wears the flame-proof variety. Sam Ferguson is with us from George Lakoff's Rock Ridge Institute. We're talking about Frank Luntz, who is the pollster, researcher, and spinmeister for the Bush Republican administration. And Rock Ridge got a hold of a memo that Frank Luntz wrote advising Republicans on how to navigate the complex immigration debate that's underway in our country right now. And, Sam, at this conference in Washington, I met a retired state senator from Colorado, and we were sitting at lunch, and I asked her to tell me about Tom Tancredo. He is the Republican congressman who has really led the charge. This is a very important issue to him. And she described him in very flat terms as simply a racist, who has learned how to put sweet terms, or at least to sweeten the terms, of his very hardline position. And I would imagine that Frank Luntz has had a role in that.
Well, that's exactly right. A few years ago, Tancredo was the extreme right of the Republican Party. And since the Republicans have taken back the House, he has become more of a mainstream position. And this is no accident. I mean, the quote-unquote mainstream, or moderate, is simply defined as those who find the discourse common sense, right? And because of Frank Luntz and this vast right-wing message machine, right-wing discourse has become almost normal in this country. It's tragic, and is one of the reasons why the Rock Ridge Institute was started, to point out in all of the ways the language is shaping American values and culture towards the very far extreme conservative positions. And I think it's important that people actually go and read Luntz's piece to see what the Republicans and what conservatives are doing. Mm-hmm. If you want, you can go to our website, rockridgeinstitute.org. And the first article on our page is this comparison between what we do and what Luntz does. And you can find a link there to Luntz's piece. It's very important people read it to see how scary this stuff is.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I've scanned it, and I will read it again more carefully, because it's striking in the manner in which it is so phony, because he is serving up the specific language there. You know, repeatedly throughout the document, he lists words that work and words that don't work. And this is, a very vivid example of the message discipline that Republicans have, which unfortunately is not matched on the left.
Well, and the Endeavor says it all. You know, Frank Luntz publishes these pieces for a very narrow set of people, for political elite. He does this in service of helping people protect their power and manipulate language to protect their power. You know, we're very open about our process. We say what's behind the language we present, so that if progressives want to use it, they know what values are implicit in that language. We point out what values are implicit in conservative language. And we're very open about the whole process. And I think that the only way our democracy is going to work is if we understand how the language shapes the debate and the problems and the policy solutions.
Sam, have you had an opportunity to monitor Lou Dobbs on CNN?
You know, I see him every once in a while, but I try and stay away from the talking heads on Google News.
I salute your good taste, but I did manage to, I couldn't sleep the other night, and there was a rerun of his show in the middle of the night on CNN. And I was struck at just how rabid the guy is. And I recognize that, like me, I'm an opinion guy, and I'm allowed to say what I think. He's an opinion guy. He's not a newsman. But he poses as a guy who's primarily doing a business show, and his focus on immigration is very extreme and very sharp. And he brought on, it amazes me, you know, Tancredo's from a non-border state, and he's, you know, one of the leaders of this right-wing movement. And Dobbs brought on a guy, I think his name is Steve, but I know his...
Competence presupposes the notion that the plan is sound, and that somehow the plan has gone wrong and the management capabilities are wrong. So if the criticism of Bush is that he's incompetent, it seems as though the American people should be satisfied if somehow he just became competent, or another arch and radically conservative president sat in the White House a few years from now. And as long as he were competent, that would be fine. But the way we see it, the real problem and the problem that should be pointed out is Bush's arch conservatism. It's not a problem that Bush is alone, right? He is very conservative. You know, one of the main things people charge against Bush is how incompetent he was after Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. But this is not incompetence. It was a natural outgrowth of conservative philosophy. Conservatives want to starve the government. They don't believe in social programs. They don't think the government can be a force for good in people's lives. They basically think the government has no role in anybody's life, positive or negative.
And so while the Katrina response is widely regarded as a huge blunder, it was not a mistake.
It's not a blunder at all. It's the natural outgrowth of conservative philosophy. The conservatives simply believed they didn't have a responsibility or a duty to help the people in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. That's not incompetence. That's just a result of being conservative.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, I'll look forward to that report, and let's have you back when it's ready.
Okay, will do.
All right, Sam Ferguson of the Rock Ridge Institute here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Jason Leopold from truthout.org. They have announced that they are standing down from the story that Karl Rove was indicted. But we'll find out more from Jason about what happened over the last 4 weeks and if, in fact, Patrick Fitzgerald has confirmed that he won't indict Karl Rove. That's coming up next. Plus, Tom Campbell, Republican former congressman, will join us next hour, too, right here.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
U.S. military deaths in Iraq reach 2,500.
The president understands that those deaths cannot be in vain.
At Microsoft, Bill Gates is shutting himself down. This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Another sad milestone in Iraq. The Pentagon confirms the number of U.S. military deaths has reached 2,500. White House spokesman Tony Snow.
It's a number, and every time there's one of these 500 benchmarks, people want something. The president would like the war to be over now. Everybody would like the war to be over now.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
For the first time in years, the House held a full-fledged debate on Iraq. Republicans, using talking points provided by the Pentagon, argued the war is part of the struggle against terrorism. And Mike Rogers of Michigan says we can't stop.
Let's not come home in humiliation. Let's not tell all of those families that their loved ones died in vain.
But Democrats argue the war was started on false reports of weapons of mass destruction. And keeping American troops there now, says California's Lynn Woolsey, can only make things worse.
This is what the American people want, Mr. Speaker. They want an end to this war.
House Republican leaders are allowing only one vote on an unbinding resolution to stay the course. About the CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The U.S. military believes it knows the identity of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi's successor. CBS News correspondent David Martin has that.
The new face of terror in Iraq goes by many names. One of them is Abu Ayyub al-Masri, Arabic for the Egyptian. CBS consultant and former CIA analyst Michael Scheuer believes al-Masri is Osama bin Laden's personal choice to replace Zarqawi. Al-Masri trained under bin Laden in Afghanistan and became an expert in what has become the engine of mass death in Iraq, the car bomb.
Al-Masri has a $50,000 price on his head. Now this.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra strength Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser-drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
To increase driving pleasure for all motorists, the Michelin Man is on a door-to-door quest to collect signatures for a petition to build an American Autobahn. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn how the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series touring tires can give you the confidence to achieve driving bliss on any road you travel. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
Microsoft founder Bill Gates announces a career change.
Today I'm working full-time for Microsoft and part-time for the Gates Foundation. Starting 2 years from now, I will shift to work full-time at the foundation and part-time at Microsoft as chairman and as a senior technical advisor.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, endowed with Microsoft profits, is the world's largest philanthropy with assets of more than $29 billion. A real bell ringer on Wall Street today. The Dow climbed back above 11,000 with a gain of 198 points. Investors seem to be shaking off concern about higher interest rates despite a new warning from Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke. He said today rising energy prices have created inflationary pressure, but
it's a tribute to the underlying strength and resiliency of the U.S. economy that it has been able to perform so well despite the drag from increased energy prices.
Randy McCloy, the sole survivor of West Virginia's Saco mine disaster, was the guest of honor at the White House today as President Bush signed a new mine bill.
May God bless you all.
Just before the president signed the law that requires more safety underground, he addressed widows and children of coal miners killed in accidents.
America's miners work hard every day to support their families and support this country.
Coal, he said, is fuel our economy needs. Then Mr. Bush shook hands with several widows. He autographed photos of dead miners, writing on one, "See you on the other side." Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Thank you.
The president also signed a bill increasing by tenfold the penalties for indecency on radio and TV. Broadcasters can be fined up to $325,000 per offense. The crackdown prompted by Janet Jackson's infamous wardrobe malfunction during the 2004 Super Bowl halftime show. Newly humble after his motorcycle accident, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger says he's sorry for the anxiety and concern his actions have caused others. He's been released from the hospital. If he ever rides again, Roethlisberger says it certainly will be with a helmet. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Britney, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. from diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays, all backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now, it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. If you're going places this summer, make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best, Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
It's polite.
Hi, I'm Peter B. Collins, and this is the show they named after me. Coming up later this hour, Tom Campbell will join us. He's now Dean of the Haas School of Business at the University of California at Berkeley. He served as a Republican congressman here from California, from Silicon Valley, for 10 years. And he also served as finance director for a year in the Arnold Schwarzenegger administration. So we're going to do a little interesting interrogation of the dean. Talk about the California budget situation, the prospects for the governor this November. And I also want to talk to him about Tom DeLay. When Campbell was in Congress, one of his most powerful votes was against Tom DeLay. Joining me now is Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter from truthout.org and the author of a powerful memoir called News Junkie. Hello, Jason.
Peter, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. I want to make sure you're okay. It's probably been kind of a wild week for you.
Yeah, it definitely has. It's been an emotional roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster in terms of, you know, my professional career, mm-hmm. my professional life is concerned. And it's funny because I feel like we, you know, every week for the past couple of months, if not longer, we've been talking about this, and
right.
and you know, the story obviously took on different shapes and forms as mm-hmm. the weeks and months went by. It's interesting. Right now, I've got to say that obviously the disappointment, you know, mm-hmm. that my story did not turn out the way I had expected it to.
Right. And let me jump in here for a sec.
Sure.
and say a couple of things. First of all, we have acknowledged in our many conversations that we're dealing with some of the most powerful and, in my view, ruthless political figures
Absolutely.
That this nation has seen in a long time.
Yeah, and I also recall in those conversations that that I said many times, and I've actually gone back to listen to some of the audio clips mm-hmm. from the times I was on your show, where I said anything can happen at the last minute.
Right. Yeah.
I got to say that, I'll be honest, I didn't believe that what would actually happen would be this. I think that, and the reason I say that is there has been, in the past 2.5 years, we have seen, the public has seen, an overwhelming amount of evidence to suggest that Karl Rove lied, was involved, committed perjury. I mean, there was a story in the National Journal just 2 weeks ago that said that Karl Rove and Bob Novak, the columnist who first leaked Plame's identity, may have coordinated their testimony. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a crime, but clearly this what this suggests to me, this whole, this outcome, the statement that Robert Luskin wrote.
It's still unproven. It's still unproven.
Well,
it's
that's
an
the
allegation
other thing.
From the
I
attorney.
Think that one, a couple of things. One, I think that absolutely, I have no doubt that something took place behind the scenes over the past 4 weeks
mm-hmm.
to change Karl Rove's status. Now, the other thing is that Robert Luskin got a letter. He said he got a letter, he got a phone call, then he got a fax, whatever it is, he has something in his possession in writing from Patrick Fitzgerald that he won't release. Now, I suspect the reason he won't release that is because it doesn't just say, thank you very much, good night.
Right.
It says, there are probably things in there that he doesn't want to come out that may suggest possibly that there is, either a deal or cooperation or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And what has been striking to me in the past 2 days since this development is that the major, newspapers, the New York Times and the Washington Post. The coverage, zilch, nothing. All you have is, it's as if they got the press release, they wrote the story, and that's it. Nobody is actually trying to find out what happened. How does somebody go from testifying five times before a grand jury, under investigation for 2.5 years, get being close to an indictment, and then suddenly, cleared? Now, the letter actually says that he doesn't anticipate bringing charges. I think that, of course he left the door open, mm-hmm. but it clearly that's, something happened. I mean, it did. So it's funny. I think that, again, and I appreciate you mentioning my book, because this is, and again, I don't want it to sound like I'm, now trying to promote a book or anything, but this is exactly what I had written about, that the media just waits for the press releases. And that's what they've been reporting. And anyone who tries to, go further than that and take a risk, like I did, and I knew that was a risk, I told you that, we discussed that, is vilified if things don't turn out the way. I reported very detailed information, and I certainly, still believe that to have been the case, but I think that something happened over the past 4 weeks. And I'm just shocked that there's no bigger, that nobody is looking into the backstory.
Right. We're talking with Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can read his work at truthout.org. And yesterday, Mark Ash, your editor, issued a statement indicating that Truthout is standing down.
Right.
From the
right.
Stories that you published on May 13th, and I believe May 17th was the second one.
Right.
And what I'd like to kind of drill into here, Jason, is your sense of what actually did happen. Because there has been further corroboration of the basic information
right.
of indictments that were returned on or about May 10th. In Washington this week, I met with Wayne Mastin, who
right.
Has done some shoe leather and document gathering work on this case, and he affirmed for me what you had reported about the bizarre filing of charges that were listed only as sealed versus sealed.
Right,
and
sure.
this is a highly unorthodox protocol, if you will,
yeah.
in the criminal justice system, and it has aroused some interest. Now, let me ask you a direct question. Do you think that Fitzgerald got indictments from the grand jury, used them to squeeze Rove, either to give up more information on Cheney or others, or to, he squeezed him in a way that finally caused Rove to clear up the inconsistencies in his testimony in the five different visits to the grand jury?
Absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind, that is what happened, that it became a matter of quid pro quo. There's absolutely no doubt. I mean, that by the way, that sealed versus sealed, I actually had a case number and have it and checked it today, and it's still sealed.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm actually trying to find out if because I'm obviously getting a crash course in federal law here, and whether or not if he fulfills his end of the bargain, if in fact he has decided to cooperate, will that just remain sealed and then be dismissed after he does what he said he would, if in fact that's the case?
And Jason, to your knowledge, what is required to dismiss or quash an indictment once it has been returned and assuming that it, as we speculate here, that it has been sealed? Can Fitzgerald do that unilaterally, or does he have to go back to the grand jury and say,
yeah.
we now have new information, would you like to withdraw this or rescind
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I have to tell you, that's a great question. I don't have the answer to it yet. Because this to me seems quite unprecedented, and while I've covered more, courts before, I have not, this is my first time really covering the, federal court system, and it's, each state is different, first of all. So I'm not quite sure, what he can and can't do, what he did and didn't do. I do think, though, that sealed indictment, it is rather curious. I mean, of course, I think I've said before that this, that this grand jury meets on other issues, other cases, including the Abramoff case. So it very well may be nothing, but it was returned during a time when Fitzgerald met with the grand jury at the same time that I reported this story. And these are questions that I've been trying to answer in my reporting for the past couple of weeks. And I absolutely believe that Karl Rove, struck a deal. And how convenient would that be a surprise to people in a sense that here we have, an election season coming up? I think that these things that may sound conspiratorial should really be looked at as, possibilities.
If we see the name Fitzgerald submitted as a future Supreme Court nominee,
right, exactly.
Then
exactly.
We'll have a better beat
but,
on that.
Jason,
we got to take a break.
Go ahead.
And when we return, I want to talk about the process that led you to publish these stories.
Sure.
See if you're ready to tell us any more about some of the sources that gave you the information.
Yeah.
And I also want to share with you a critical email from a listener who's been following your progress here on our program.
Absolutely.
That's coming up next as we continue with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. If you have a question or comment, you can join us 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, hear Linda Gerchick, the number one REMAX commercial investment agent in Arizona. Hear how Linda analyzes and acquires cash flow properties, finances, and leverages her strategies for investors. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Heard all over Northern California, Sunday mornings at 10. For more information, log on to rockrollerrealestate.com or call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
420 from KRXA 540. We check traffic on your ride home. Here's Amy Knight.
Hey, thanks, Peter. So many problems to talk about this afternoon. Highway 68 at Laguna Seca, an injury accident with a vehicle that went off the roadway and landed in a ditch, a medical helicopter on the way. There's also reports of a pole down in the roadway. Also, westbound 156 after McGuffey Road, an accident on the shoulder. If you're traveling through Gonzales, Iverson Road south of Jamison Canyon, a major injury accident with a solo overturned car. One of the passengers is ejected. And Highway 183 at Davis, a minor injury accident there. Roaches recognize their friends by their odor. Do you like your smell? Well, call the Orkin Man. He's been fighting roach invasion for over 100 years. Protect your home, protect your family. For help, call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Peter, you smell pretty good today.
Hey, thanks.
Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Send the Orkin Man anyway.
All right.
Minutes past the hour, you've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and we've got Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter at truthout.org. We're talking about the Roe CIA leak case. And, Jason, I was at this conference in Washington and had two different conversations with Ambassador Joe Wilson. He's a real classy guy, and while he's deeply upset by these developments and has indicated that he and his wife will probably file a civil suit against Roe, he has declined any media interviews at the moment, saying that he's just going to let Rove have his moment in the sunshine. But I wanted to see if at this point, we had discussed this in the past when you had reported this and the mainstream media didn't back you up, that if you found that people had lied to you, that you would expose those sources who had misled you.
Yeah.
And without asking you to compromise any active sources, are you prepared to tell us any more about how you got the information and the extent to which you may have been misled?
Well, great question. Again, let me say that that statement, those things that I said, it's definitely, you know, has taken on a sort of different form. People have interpreted and said things. Jason, it says Jason in the blogosphere, that is, that crazy world of whatever it is, the blogosphere.
Mm-hmm.
People have said, Jason said he would out his sources if his story was wrong. I said that if my, as you just stated, my sources knowingly lie to me or led me astray,
mm-hmm.
they know that I would no longer be obligated to protect their anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you that on Monday, Mark Ash, who is my editor, who has spoken with all of my sources at great length, particularly over the past couple of days, will be writing exactly what you have asked me in response to your question. He will be writing up of how we got this story, mm-hmm. characterizing, you know, some of the sources and the fact that, you know, we were not lied to. There's no evidence. You know, we've done a lot of homework in the past few weeks. I want to make that clear that, you know, when I say homework, I'm talking about contacting, meetings, you know, personal face-to-face meetings with these people. We have done a lot of work. And we simply, you know, have walked away with the conclusion that we weren't lied to. We were not, you know, misled.
And if that's the case, and I'm taking your word for it, I'm not challenging you on that, then the direct implication is that something changed.
And that
indicates
saying,
that a deal was struck or some other kind of development that got Rove off the hook.
Yeah, Peter, I absolutely believe something changed. I absolutely cannot, I don't buy that, you know, the fifth testimony, that was it, it's over. He's cleared. Something changed. And the sources, again, getting back to that, we believe that that the information that they provided us, that they did not, you know, lie to us. I don't know what, you know, obviously, you know, exactly what happened, those details in terms of the meeting, you know, we still believe it. Whether there was, you know, something bigger, we'll still try to investigate to find out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll still try to find that out. We have walked away with the conclusion at this point that, you know, we don't have any evidence, and we've grilled these people big time.
All right, let me jump to this email that came from a listener, Tom in Carmel, And as I read it to you, I want to just be clear that not everything he states here is accurate, in my opinion.
Right.
He says, I wrote you after your last visit with Jason, who claimed to have, quote, seen the indictment of Rove. You never did. And I said he sounded like a liar with his evasive answers and non-answers to your direct questions. Now it is apparently the fact, that's all caps, that Rove will not be indicted, not as all caps, and that further, any indictment that was threatened was not for exposing Plame, but for some other fringe issue, as in Clinton lied under oath, and now even that is not going forward. It would appear that any Libby case must be pretty fringy itself, as there is no Plame exposed issue, those are in quotes, as it did not happen. That's kind of curious. And prosecuting Libby must surely be pretty pointless at this point, huh? Well, putting aside his kind of skanky comments about you.
But can I just tell you that how I don't want to, you know, part of me thinks that should I, you know, show this, like, you know, side of me that's, ooh, I'm, you know, I'm sorry. I laugh at that. I have to laugh at the, you know, I've gotten a lot of comments over the past couple of days, but only a few of them have been written very eloquently. You know, otherwise it's like it's very otherwise the comments have been, you know, we hate you, you're a bad guy, na-na-na-na-na-na. I mean, and so I can't help but laugh at it.
Yeah. All right, let me go to a call here. Dave from Humboldt, join us. You're on with Jason Leopold.
Hey, Peter. Jason, I'm wondering, can you make another contact with these sources without putting them at extreme jeopardy?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
He wants to know if you can make another contact with these sources without putting them in jeopardy.
We have made another contact. And, in fact, you know, that's going to be part of the article that Mark Ash will, you know, will post on Monday. And you know, let me say this, Peter. While this is a very, you know, people are right in questioning things and credibility and those issues, you know, we're not going to back off. We're going to continue to report the story, and I'm certainly going to continue it as well. And I think that eventually, you know, the truth of exactly what happened will hopefully come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the worst thing to do is to just completely back down. You know, we've been on the story, and we're going to continue to stay on it. And you know, and despite what people, you know, may think or whether or not they decide to, you know, never read us again. You know, that's the way it has to be.
All right, Dave, I'm out of time here. I'd ask you for another comment, but thanks for joining us today. And, Jason, I look forward to talking with you again next week. Let's stay on this story.
Absolutely.
I want to get to the bottom of it, and I know you do in the most positive and also the worst way.
You have no idea.
I think I do, but I'll allow that to you. Thanks a lot, Jason.
Thanks, Peter.
Coming up next, Dean Tom Campbell from Berkeley's Haas School of Business, former state finance director, former Republican congressman. We'll talk with him about a number of issues here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Angelina's Bakery would like to thank and officially recognize all fathers for their hard work. And in appreciation, Angelina's Bakery would like to invite you to come by and enter to participate in a raffle in which you can win big for Dad. There will be a variety of prizes and gift card discounts for in-store use, so stop by and surprise your father. The owners and staff of Angelina's Bakery would like to thank all fathers and wish each and every father a wonderful day. Come to Angelina's Bakery and order your goodies in advance. and receive a 15% discount. Angelina's Bakery is located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside, across from Craig and Auto Parts. We'll see you at Angelina's.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Carmel by the Sea. We are live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, and on a good day, we even get into Brookings, Oregon. Our program is heard in the nighttime on 1240 Talk City, that's KSAC Sacramento, and 1480 KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And wherever you are, however you listen, I'm glad you're along. You can drop me an email, peter at peterbcollins.com. Or if you're not a fan, send it to loudmouth at peterbcollins.com. It'll reach me. And now we make our second trip today to Berkeley, California. We were over at the Rock Ridge Institute with a staff member of George Lakoff's firm. And now we're joined by Dean Tom Campbell from the Berkeley Haas School of Business, the graduate school. He served in Congress two stints, total of about 10 years from Silicon Valley, interrupted by a run for the U.S. Senate and a stint as a state senator. And then he took a year's leave from Berkeley to serve as finance director to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's no longer on leave anywhere. Is that correct, Tom?
Hey, that's right, Peter. I'm earning an honest living.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. How are you today?
I'm very well, thanks. And I'm delighted to know that Brookings is listening in to us.
Well, no, that's Rock Ridge Institute.
No, Brookings, Oregon.
Oh, Brookings, Oregon. I'm sorry. I was thinking think tanks.
And I was attempting to, help you with the confusion.
Okay. Well, you're always pretty good at that. Tom, there's so much I'd like to talk to you about, and we'll see just how far we can get. Let me talk first about state finance and the budget that is currently under deliberation in Sacramento. We got a windfall from the Google millionaires. Did you have any expectation? You left the finance office last November, and at that time, did you have any hunch that we'd have this kind of unexpected windfall of state revenue?
No, I didn't. It's all told almost $7 billion for the year 2005-06 and then the year 2006-07. It was unanticipated. And my worry is that, just as you correctly identified, its source is from capital gains on a one-time basis that may not be there in future years.
Mm-hmm. But in general, it really is a shot in the arm. It essentially papers over the loss of revenue from the so-called car tax, the vehicle license fee. But are we back on a solid black ink footing, or are we still a debtor state?
We're still a debtor state. I think that the numbers are going to show that. We are probably still in a structural deficit of between $3 to $4 billion.
And is that annual or just
No, that's annual.
Okay.
Outstanding, the total amount of debt of the state is closer to $40 billion, and that part of that is comprised by the bonds that the voters approve, and then the borrowing from special funds, which the legislature does as a way of not, frankly, making tough decisions. And then it's plenty of blame to go around. I don't mean to be partisan in that observation. One of the great opportunities we have with this one-time influx of money is to have the breathing space to fix some of the automatic formulas for spending. But I'm not sure we're going to do that, Peter. It looks as though we probably will get a budget pretty close to on time this year, and that budget will allow us to get through this year, but it might be that if the revenue falls in the years to come, we will have to get to the fundamental issue of how much are we spending on automatic.
No, I do understand that, and I'm sure you're pleased that Rob Reiner's latest ballot measure didn't pass.
Yeah, I thought that Rob Reiner's approach had a couple of serious flaws. One was that it applied to small businesses. The increased income tax was not just on individuals. You and I can have our own opinion maybe on what it would do to increase the taxes on well-to-do individuals, but it would also apply to small businesses. And I thought that was a mistake economically, probably also a mistake in a sense of folks who create opportunity for others. But just economically, it's not a good a tax that increases tax on small businesses.
Well, and I support preschool.
I
felt that it was a subsidy to some people who already are paying for it and don't seem to have a problem doing so. And I also, like you, share a concern in the in relying on the wealthiest individuals to pay the freight, because we've seen that is a very volatile revenue stream.
Very good point. Both points. There was a lot of subsidy. I think it was coming close to 40%, maybe even higher, of the money would have gone to folks who were already affording preschool for their children. And so you begin to wonder, is that the most wise investment? Rather, shouldn't we be funding preschool for those who could not afford it? And it'd go a lot farther. You could get more for your dollar, quality and quantity that way. And then the volatility aspect of relying upon the revenue of the from taxing the very well-to-do. There was an estimate that I looked at it some while ago, which was that if 200 of the top earning families, the highest wealth families in the state of California, decided to relocate in Klein Village, Nevada, or wherever they
Brookings,
might.
Oregon.
Brookings, Oregon. Good. Yes, I think it's time to plug Brookings again. That the increased income tax rate would be completely offset. And then the other aspect too was in the Rob Reiner initiative. If the revenue fell off, if the projection of higher revenue from the higher rate did not materialize, then it would become paid for by other sources. It would just drop into the general obligation. So it really wasn't 100% funded by the source identified in certain circumstances, namely if the revenue wasn't there, it would just become an obligation of the rest of the state budget.
We're talking with Tom Campbell here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's now dean at the Haas School of Business at the University of California at Berkeley, and he spent a year as Arnold Schwarzenegger's finance director. Give us a little insight, Tom, into your relationship with the governor And is he a numbers guy? Did he really sit down with you and go through it line by line and say, you know, those mosquito abatement districts are not a good investment?
Yeah, that was one of the issues that took a lot of our time. the truth is he is a numbers guy. He's a surprising numbers guy, and he's a graph guy and a percentage guy. And the problem, Peter, is that the budget of the state of California is a moving target. And I'd give him an estimate today, and then tomorrow I'd give him a different estimate, and he'd say, but you told me this number, and he'd cite it exactly. And a number of theories are circulating within his group of advisors as to why he's such a numbers guy. Theory number one, numbers are the same in any language. Okay, mm-hmm. So if you know,
Jawohl.
for another, I don't speak any German, so I admire anybody who's bilingual, and here's a fellow who is fully bilingual, but clearly numbers are the same in any language. Secondly, he was quite a businessman, not just in his movies, but in real estate. And I once asked him, because he was doing percentages in his head, and I, you know, getting within a point, and I had this big calculator, and I said, how do you know, you're pretty good at that. And he said, I had to, because in doing real estate deals, oftentimes the deal would be right there, and you better take it or not. And he was figuring out the percentages. So surprising, sharp on the statistics. And in terms of instinct, his instinct was, let's pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't always have your way. We're far from it in politics. But his instinct was, if it's worth having, let's pay for it. If we're not going to pay for it, then let's not do it, which I think is a very healthy approach, even if you can't follow it 100% of the time.
And what do you think about the way he has reinvented himself in this calendar year,
starting
off with an apology and acceptance of his failure in the ballot measures, including the one that you stumped for statewide last fall?
Yeah.
And with a pronounced move to, well, the right would call it to the left, and from the left, I would say he's moved to the center. and so he's now championing an increase in California's minimum wage and talking about a number of other issues that were certainly not on the agenda during the real combat year of 2005.
Your observation is right. I would say, though, that, and this is true of him, but it's true of most politicians as well, they come out as 100%ers when really they made a judgment, and it was probably a 55-45 judgment, as a lot of our judgments in life are. But once you've made a judgment, because you think 55% of this time it's a right judgment, and so you go with it, then you sell it like it's 100%. So it was always a closer call, than perhaps the public thought. Take Prop 76, which I did and do think was good for the state. What it was a way of reforming the way the budget was done, and to have a provision in case we didn't have the money to pay for the expenditures in the middle of a budget year, to fix it in the middle of the budget year. There's more than one way of handling that. One was the Graham-Rudman approach that said, cut everything across the board. That was what the governor put into the legislature. The other was the one that made it to the ballot, which said the governor gets to decide. There's a third which said increase taxes a little bit and cut spending a little bit, have it 50-50. Mm-hmm. And I'm not breaching any confidence to say that all of those are under discussion. But once you make your mind up, you go out to the public, you say, this is what I'm pushing, then obviously you can become identified and say, oh, well, gee, he's not open to the other alternatives, when actually he always was. One thing else, I don't think this is a surprise. The governor has a tremendously close, intelligent, powerful advisor named Maria Shriver. And she is and was part of the governor's decision process, and her background and instincts are not from the Republican side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're pretty well aware of that. Now, Tom, many people may not know this, but I know you well enough to know that you are fascinated by bad film. And I'm just curious, in your 52 weeks of service to Governor Schwarzenegger, did you ever talk about movies, and how did you keep getting in deep doo-doo by offering an honest appraisal of one of his films.
So I did. Oh, gosh. Okay, now I'm going to make it public, but here it is. And you just say things sometimes that you wish you hadn't said. So I come into the governor's office, and I'd been giving some speeches out in the state, and the governor was nice. He's a very polite man, and he said, "Tom, you're getting good reviews." And Terry Tamminen was there, who I think you know. He was at the time cabinet secretary. And Terry says, "Yeah, getting good reviews, unlike some of your movies." And then instead of keeping my mouth shut, which any intelligent person would have said, I said, "Yeah, like Red Sonja." So I did it. I brought it up, and I don't know if your listenership is familiar with the genre of the truly bad, but this is certainly a candidate. And instead of you taking offense, the governor said, "Yeah, that was a stinker." So
well,
you got.
I got booted from the theater during Terminator 2 because I was laughing at inappropriate moments, according to the rest of the audience. All right, Tom, we got to take a break. We'll return. And then I want to ask you about the matchup in November and then shift to some national topics.
You bet.
We're talking with Dean Tom Campbell, former Republican congressman, and you can talk with us, too. Lines are open, Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Tom Hartman.
And Hans Blix was saying, there's no threat there. In a week and a half before we invaded, Hans Blix and Mohammed Al-Bar and I were going to submit a report to the UN saying, there's no evidence of weapons of mass destruction here. We have found the proof that they actually destroyed them. And Bush knew that. That's why he had to invade as quickly as he did.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
It's not a war. It's a crime. Invading another country is a crime. Just like when Hitler invaded Poland, this is a crime.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
KRXA 540 cares about your commute. There's some problems out there in traffic. Let's check in with Amy Knight.
Absolutely. In Aromas, Sound 101 at San Juan Road, an earlier accident has been cleared, but there's at least a mile delay approaching the earlier scene. Also, northbound 1 near 218, an accident cleared to the right-hand shoulder, but one of the vehicles struck a tree and traffic very heavy as you approach the scene. Highway 68 at Laguna Seca, an accident cleared, but traffic still heavy in both directions. 25 at Ridgemark, an injury accident involving a golf cart. And if you're on Highway 183 at Davis Road, a solo car involved there. Also, San Benito Street at Nash Road, getting reports of a grass fire burning near the roadway. And Iverson at south of Johnson Canyon and Gonzales, a major injury accident still clearing. Job seekers, find more jobs and more companies at the Mercury Job Fair June 21st at the Santa Clara Convention Center. Go to mercurynews.com for info. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Coming up just after the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Medea Benjamin, the founder, one of the founders of Code Pink. Now we're going to talk about the progressives in Washington, the conference I attended earlier this week, who would not permit Code Pink members to offer a protest message to Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton as she came to address the group. We'll talk about that coming up shortly. We continue now with Dean Tom Campbell. He is at the Haas School of Business at the University of California at Berkeley. And just to connect a couple of dots, he ran for the United States Senate back in 2000, and Medea Benjamin was the Green Party candidate. And I worked for Mr. Campbell on that campaign in the interest of full disclosure. And to his credit, when Dianne Feinstein refused to permit Medea Benjamin as the official Green Party candidate to participate in the debates, Tom really came to her defense. I remember that joint news conference and the little protest outside of Channel 4 in San Francisco.
I remember it, too.
Yeah.
Ed, thanks for bringing that up. Please give my best regards to Medea. As it turned out, then, she and I debated each other all over the state. And she's a thoughtful person, and her point of view definitely should be heard.
And would you be shocked to hear that progressives prevented protest?
I'm not going to put anybody down, but I'd say this. If you got confidence in your own point of view, you shouldn't worry about letting somebody else be heard.
What do you think about the matchup in November of Phil Angelides and Governor Schwarzenegger?
It's a fascinating result of a low turnout election. I've just got to say, Steve Wesley had a real good shot at bringing the middle and the moderate Republican to be interested and maybe vote for him. It's going to be a lot harder for Phil Angelides. I have the privilege to know both Phil and Steve and the governor, and I bear no ill will to any of them. But it's quite clear the Democratic voter electorate in a low turnout election went with the gentleman who was the strongest with the organization. The shoe leather beat personal wealth.
I also think that Angelides is just more dynamic and better on the stump. Wesley is so wooden and scripted, and in that one debate in San Francisco, I thought he had just escaped from a wax museum.
I think that's probably the case with somebody who's relatively new in politics, and that was the case for Steve Wesley and not the case for Phil Angelides. And there's certainly true that Phil has passion and fire. The governor also has passion and fire. And so that the matchup is going to have a lot of a personality side to it. Maybe I'll just say a word on that, and then by all means on the merits. But on the personality side, watch it already. I think you've seen the ads or heard them. I've certainly seen the descriptions of them in the press. Phil Angelides is going to say Arnold George Bush Schwarzenegger, George Arnold Bush, as much as he possibly can. And the governor Schwarzenegger is going to say Phil never saw a tax I didn't like. Angelides, and let me quote Steve Wesley to you. And then all he has to do is repeat Steve Wesley on the subject of Phil Angelides. And so that's probably the personalities thus, if it's done humorously and if it's done kind of with an upbeat tone, it can be quite effective.
Well, and Dowd and Schmidt, the political team, the strategists who just moved out here from the White House, didn't wait more than 20 minutes for the primary to be over. Actually, they waited 4 days before they put up these TV spots, essentially, like you said, repeating what Wesley has said, this phony charge that Angelides' desire to roll back the increases at university and state college campuses would cost $10 billion. Do you agree that's a phony figure?
I don't know enough to say, but let me say I would not be surprised if claims made in the Democratic primary or Republican primary are sometimes difficult to defend. I'm just not knowledgeable enough about the exact wording. One of the points you know very well is sometimes things are worded just right so they are technically true without really being fundamentally true,
yeah.
But I can't make that conclusion without more facts here.
And you noted the low turnout. It is a shame, but I was in Washington this week, and the Virginia primary with contested Senate races on both sides for an
yes.
open seat
yeah.
produced a turnout of 3.44%. Can you
no.
believe that?
No, 3%?
Yes. 96% of the people of Virginia have no opinion about their next United States senator.
Peter,
I was floored, Tom. I couldn't believe it.
Peter, I can't believe that either. You sure you're not off by a decimal point or something?
Yes, I am. I double-checked it with the Registrar
wow.
of Voters
wow.
website.
Well, gosh knows, we saw a terrible turnout this time. And partially, you know, folks say negative advertising depresses the turnout. Well, there was tons of it. There was tons of it, and I think you're probably going to see it again in November. I did want to talk one word on substance, though. I think there is an interesting distinction. I favor Governor Schwarzenegger. I want to see him elected. I'm not working for him anymore. But I do want to see him elected. Having said that, I think the fundamental difference is this, and maybe you'll agree and maybe you'll disagree. There will come a time when the legislature, which despite hard work by Republicans, is going to stay Democratic controlled. There will come a time when the legislature wants to do something that probably is not in the best interest of the state, and the governor is going to say no. That element of balance, of the ability to have a governor who is of a different party who mm-hmm. can stand up right. to the legislature is of value, and I think that's
well. I'm deeply opposed to one-party rule in Washington, and
yeah.
maybe I'll come around in the Sacramento case.
No, your point is right. I think that's a very strong argument that the Democrats will have to take back the House.
Yeah.
I think you're going to hear Speaker-to-be Nancy Pelosi saying just that, that don't you think it's time that we had somebody to rein in the Republicans. So it's a true argument either way, and
yeah.
I think it's going to work to Governor Schwarzenegger's advantage.
On my computer screen, Tom, the screensaver is Tom DeLay's mugshot photo.
You're terrible.
Tell me how you reacted to his final speech that he forced to occur from the House floor, even though it flouted protocol, in which he bragged about the K Street Project and his hardball partisanship.
Well, it might surprise you, but I didn't hear the speech. I didn't set aside my day's activities to do so, and maybe I should have preparatory to my coming on your radio show. So I don't have the basis for comment on it because I didn't hear it or read it. I'm sorry.
Are you offended by the way he operated, in particular the pay-to-play atmosphere and the K Street lobbyist project?
I'm going to be a little bit fair, more fair than to say that. I'm going to say that there should never be in D.C. or Sacramento a notion that you need to pay in order to be heard. And there were members of the House of Representatives and the Senate where that was the case. And I served in the minority for 4 years in the House and then in the majority for five. And there were people of both party who did that, and it was very, very bad for our country.
I'm particularly offended by the way they have rewritten the conference process and repeatedly jammed in elements that were never heard in committee, never put to the floor vote until the final package was presented.
I'll again say both parties did it, but that sure doesn't make it right. That an item was not conferenceable, which is bad English, but that's the phrase, never kept the majority party from putting it in. I saw things added in at the Rules Committee, Peter, that had not been put in. And when I was a congressman in the first 4 years and in the minority, I saw one of my bills get a chance for a vote, and the others never even allowed to vote. The sadness, and I'll be blunt on this since I just criticized the Democrats a little bit, is that I thought maybe the Republicans, when they took over, would say, okay, that was unfair, let's have a different system. And instead, it's a reversal of the parties, but an implementation of the same approach, which is if you're not in the majority party, your access to even having a vote is substantially limited. That's not good when the Democrats do it. It's not good when the Republicans do it.
Tom, I wish we had more time to talk. It's a pleasure to visit with you.
Thanks for asking me on. I'd love to talk again.
All right. We'll get back at you. That's Tom Campbell, now Dean of the UC School of Business. That's at UC Berkeley, the Haas Graduate School of Business. Coming up next, the woman who he faced off in the primary in the Senate race in 2000, Medea Benjamin, former Green Party candidate. We're going to talk about freedom of speech at progressive Democratic gatherings right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Into the night in Washington, the House continues its debate on Iraq. Pennsylvania Democrat John Murtha calling for withdrawal.
We continue to pay with lives lost in terms of financial treasure and more than $8 billion a month.
The Pentagon confirmed this morning that the number of U.S. military deaths in Iraq has reached 2,500. But Republicans, led by Speaker Dennis Hastert, say stay the course.
When our freedom is challenged, Americans do not run.
The House plans to vote on a non-binding resolution in the morning. In the Senate, a call to pull out of Iraq by year's end was soundly rejected today. Bill Gates announces a career change.
Starting 2 years from now, I will shift to work full-time at the Foundation and part-time at Microsoft.
He'll stay on as chairman and senior technical advisor, but Gates plans to devote most of his time and energy to the Bill and Melinda Gates Charitable Foundation.
Just as Microsoft took off in ways that I never expected, so is the work of the Foundation, and it's growing rapidly.
Its assets total more than $29 billion. Back home to continue his recovery from Monday's motorcycle crash, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger has issued a statement apologizing for his risky behavior. Roethlisberger says he feels fortunate to be alive, and if he ever rides again, he promises to wear a helmet. In the wake of Jason Grimsley's admission that he used human growth hormone, Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig has written an open letter to fans saying he's disappointed and angry and will not tolerate the use of performance-enhancing drugs. Grimsley claims other ballplayers have also used HGH. At the Pentagon today, a ceremony hearkening back to 9/11.
Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, who was among those carrying the wounded on September 11th, was among those breaking ground near the Pentagon for a memorial to those who died there 5 years ago.
Today we claim this ground for them, for their families, and for the brave servicemen and women who have volunteered to go out to meet our nation's enemies and to keep our country safe.
The memorial to remind future generations of the 184 people who died in the Pentagon and aboard American Airlines Flight 77, which was flown into it on September 11th. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Government auditors found up to $1.4 billion in bogus claims after Hurricane Katrina, but FEMA will be getting some of that money back thanks to Hooters. Mike McNeil, vice president of marketing for the restaurant chain, says they were embarrassed to learn that someone had used a FEMA debit card at Hooters to buy a $200 bottle of champagne.
The owner of our company, Bob Brooks, called me this morning and said, you know, Mike, we don't want that money if we're not supposed to have it. And he wanted me to let folks in Washington know that he wants to give that $200 back.
FEMA just has to let them know where to send the check. On Wall Street, a very good day. The Dow Industrials up 198 points to close above 11,000 again. The Nasdaq gained 58. This is CBS News.
Did you wake up this morning hoping today you'd finally meet the one? Well, then there's something you should know. Last year alone, hundreds of thousands of people found a fabulous relationship on Match.com. So is online dating for you? Now, Match.com has created a new starter kit so you can find out. And for a limited time, it's free for everyone who visits Match.com. Today could be the day. Check out our new starter kit, yours free, only at Match.com, the number one site for love.
The Goodyear Calling All Cars tire sale is right up my alley because I'm a car. Hey, I'm driving here. And since cars need pampering, I'm revved up about all the great deals on popular Goodyear tires. Plus, with a qualifying purchase, I can get my treads tapping with a limited edition Cars original soundtrack and up to a $100 Goodyear cash card. The Goodyear Calling All Cars tire sale makes me happy to be a car.
See Disney and Pixar's Cars in theaters June 9th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the participating retailer near you. Sale and mail-in offers end June 17th. Restrictions apply.
Proposing marriage is a leap of faith, but in one case, as CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes explains, it was a streak of bad luck.
In Ann Arbor, Michigan, police say the man was running naked through the neighborhood in an effort to show his recalcitrant girlfriend that it is important to take risks and convince her that marriage was a risk worthwhile. When a couple approached on the sidewalk, the man hid in the bushes, but the man on the sidewalk spotted bare feet in those bushes, pulled a gun, and wound up chasing and winging the streaker. He's okay, minor injuries, but there's still no word what the girlfriend's decision is on the marriage proposal. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Police in Braunschweig, Germany, went to arrest a 70-year-old man who'd failed to pay a fine for shoplifting. He struggled with the cops and tried to bite them, but didn't have his dentures. A police spokesman says one officer was bitten several times, but the man didn't leave anything but a wet patch. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra-strength Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser-drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
To increase driving pleasure for all motorists, the Michelin Man is on a door-to-door quest to collect signatures for a petition to build an American Autobahn. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn how the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series touring tires can give you the confidence to achieve driving bliss on any road you travel. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
And the Peter B. Collins Show goes pink. That's code pink. And I just happen to be wearing a pinkish kind of shirt today. Every day we set aside time in our final hour and call it the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome, and we're going to talk about free speech itself to kick off the conversation. I've got lines open on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. And you can call me toll-free from anywhere else within the sound of my voice, 1-888-579-2540. So there I was in Washington, D.C. at a gathering of alleged progressives called the Take Back America Conference. You heard our live broadcasts Monday and Tuesday from the event. And in general, I give the organizers high marks for trying to bring people together and trying to have an honest discussion about the future of the Democratic Party. And overall, I give them pretty good grades. But I was really disappointed and disturbed because Tuesday morning, I rolled out of bed in time to go to a breakfast speech presented by Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. And before I did, which is something I usually do to try to keep under 200 pounds, which is my personal goal, I went jogging around the Hinckley Hilton, as it's called. That's the place where John Hinckley tried to assassinate President Reagan in 1981. And I noticed that some members of Code Pink for Peace were being jacked around by the hotel security and by the organizers of the event. And I've asked Medea Benjamin, one of the co-founders of Code Pink, to join us for a few minutes this afternoon. Hello, Medea.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure, and since I got back, I had a chance to read the piece that you wrote. It's posted at commondreams.org, and people can probably find it elsewhere on the web. But what you detail is that you had, your organization and your colleagues, had extensive negotiations with the organizers of this event, and what Code Pink wanted to do, as you have done many times, is simply offer a free speech message to Senator Clinton regarding her backward position on the war in Iraq.
That's right. I mean, first we were surprised to see that she was one of the keynotes at a conference that was supposed to be a showcase for progressive politicians and progressives in general. But that's okay. I mean, it's good to have her come if it were in the spirit of a dialogue with progressives. And when it wasn't, we saw it wasn't in that kind of spirit, we said, well, at least let us be passing around information about her bad position on the war in Iraq and how she's refused to support every piece of legislation that's come before the Senate that's tried to put a deadline on the U.S. occupation. and that we wanted to be able to ask her a question directly. And we got that agreement from the organizers, who said, yes, 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 you can come and hand out your materials outside as well as inside the hotel. You can come right up to the ballroom where she's speaking and give out your materials, and we'll make sure that you get to ask the first question. None of that happened. They tried to keep us out of the hotel, even from giving out the materials outside the hotel, which you yourself witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out that they had lied to us that there was never going to be a question period. And that became evident to the people inside. But
there was no Q&A of any of the major speakers, including Russ Feingold and John Kerry and Nancy Pelosi.
So they knew that beforehand and then lied to us and said that we could ask the first question.
I can only guess that to be the case because there weren't even any microphones set up for audience members to ask questions, again, in any of the major speeches that were held in the big ballroom.
Well, that's right. And our people who did get inside immediately realized that. They looked around and saw what you said. There weren't the microphones there, that she was going on until just about the end of the time that was allotted for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when a couple of them got up and did try to ask some questions and got up on the seat and put their peace sign and with their fingers up in the air and got pulled down. And we always carry banners with us just in case. You never know when you're going to need a banner.
Well, yeah, you know, in a ballroom like that, the air conditioning can freeze you and
you need something to wrap. You need a little shawl, right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so they tried to pull out that, and that got immediately yanked from the security guards. So it felt very much for the people there like they were at one of the Bush rallies.
Well, a couple of interesting notes. First of all, I sat on a bench near the side entrance of the Hilton where there's room for several cars to pull up and drop people off. That was the presumed location where the senator was expected to arrive, and there were some camera crews there to capture that for B-roll, as it's called. There was a second entrance, it's kind of interesting, that has two roll-up garage doors, so it can be secured. So you could bring a car, a limo, or an SUV in there and lock it in on both sides, and that has an entrance that goes directly backstage to the ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the main entrance, which is up on Connecticut Avenue. Well, as the arrival was anticipated, I saw Code Pink members negotiating with one of the top folks who organized the event, and he was playing a game with them. He wouldn't tell them where she was actually going to be dropped off. And he then suggested that they stand back away from the entrance area and threatened to force them to take a position across the street if they didn't cooperate. And as I saw this, I thought, wow, this is bizarre. Because here, this organization is in some ways compromising the values of the people attending by bringing in Hillary Rodham Clinton and giving her free speech rights. And I actually support that because I wanted to hear what she had to say, and she underscored the reasons why I could never support her. And in particular, when she talked about the war, she has this really muddled position where she says that she doesn't agree with staying the course like the Bush administration proposes, but she also doesn't agree about setting a specific date. Well, that produced boos from the audience, and I think that while Code Pink didn't get to express itself, the rest of us did our part to convey to her our deep disappointment with her continuing position that simply is indefensible. And what was fascinating, Medea, was about an hour later, John Kerry delivered one of the best speeches I have ever heard him give. And he was explicit. He said his vote was a mistake, that this is a grotesque error of judgment, the war in Iraq. And he went on to say that he was misled by the intelligence and finally added that he would be sponsoring a resolution in the Senate this week to do exactly what Hillary Clinton doesn't want, which is to impose a withdrawal date he's proposing by the end of 2006. And just a sidebar, somebody sent me an article that was written about these speeches, and they quote a man in the crowd who responded to John Kerry's remark, "It was wrong, and I was wrong to vote for the Iraq war resolution." A man in the crowd shouted, "Tell Hillary that." And I'm now willing to identify that man. It was me.
Very good. Well, you know, a lot lot of us were very unhappy with Kerry for his position during the campaign and after the campaign, but when he's come forward with a good piece of legislation, we're ready to embrace him, and I think that was evident by the response from the crowd there. On the other hand, Hillary maintains this, as you say, very muddled position, but she also doesn't want to engage. And I saw that a couple of weeks ago when I was at the National Press Club, and she gave her talk about energy, and I was there in the audience, and again, would not take any direct questions from the audience. She gave a 40-minute speech, quite good on a lot of issues about energy, but imagine giving a 45-minute talk and never mentioning the world, the Middle East, never mentioning that we had an issue about control of oil in the Middle East. And so I got up and tried to ask a question about that and was immediately yanked by one of these burly security guards. Now, I remember when Ray McGovern asked Donald Rumsfeld a question at one of his talks, and they were about to pull Ray McGovern away, and Donald Rumsfeld said, no, 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 let him talk. Let's hear what he has to say. Hillary Clinton could have done that very easily with me. Let her ask the question. I'd like a chance to answer it. Instead, she let me get dragged out of there, and I was actually, Peter, believe it or not, banned for life from the National Press Club for trying to ask her a question.
That's ridiculous. And again, you know, I believe that it was appropriate to invite her. I was happy to listen to her. I agree she did score some points on some domestic issues. But when it comes to foreign policy in Iraq, I cannot agree with her. And I think it's good to have that exchange of views, and progressives shouldn't be afraid to hear from people with whom we disagree. But on the same exact dime, I've got to say that you're right and Code Pink's right to express the views you hold to the senator should have been honored as well. And I can only guess that she set ground rules and said, I will not speak unless you do this, this, and this, and that includes no interaction with Code Pink.
That's right. And I'm sure that it was her people that kind of steamrolled the organizers and set those rules after the fact. And I think it's too bad that the organizers of the conference agreed to it.
Yeah. Well, Medea, thank you for continuing your fight. And Code Pink does a great job. I'm proud to align with you.
And I'm glad you're wearing a pink shirt today, Peter.
Okay.
Solidarity.
I'll keep fighting for your free speech rights.
Very
and
good.
Also, I bring you greetings from Tom Campbell, who was on the show just before you joined us.
An example of a man who we think differently, but I adore him.
Yep.
And loves discussion and dialogue.
Okay, Medea, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good to talk with you. Now I want to hear from you. What do you think about progressives suppressing the free speech of Code Pink on an issue that's so obvious and that Senator Clinton should be tough enough to be able to face and even have dialogue about? I want to hear from you. Lines are open now, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina's Bakery would like to thank and officially recognize all fathers for their hard work. And in appreciation, Angelina's Bakery would like to invite you to come by and enter to participate in a raffle in which you can win big for Dad. There will be a variety of prizes and gift card discounts for in-store use, so stop by and surprise your father. The owners and staff of Angelina's Bakery would like to thank all fathers and wish each and every father a wonderful day. Come to Angelina's Bakery and order your goodies in advance. And receive a 15% discount. Angelina's Bakery is located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside, across from Craig and Auto Parts. We'll see you at Angelina's. Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
KRXA 540. We've got some traffic problems for you this afternoon, and Amy Knight has the latest.
It's still very busy out there, Peter. Northbound 1 before Aguajito, a truck lost a load of wood debris in the lane, so drive with caution. An accident still clearing northbound 1 after 218, the right lane clearing with a vehicle that struck a tree off to the roadway, so expect delays as you pass that scene. Also, southbound 101 after San Juan Road, that's near the Big Red Barn, an earlier accident cleared, but traffic still very slow as you approach that earlier crash site. Also, Iverson Road just south of Johnson Canyon and Gonzales, earlier accident now cleared, but all lanes are open, but traffic also very heavy in the area. Also in Gilroy, south 101 at Monterey Street, a new three-car crash blocks the right lane. Job seekers find more jobs and more companies than ever at the Mercury News Career Job Fair, June 21st at the Santa Clara Convention Center. Go to mercurynews.info for details. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're going to keep on rocking in the free world here. The free speech zone is wide open for you. And I haven't been able to take a lot of phone calls the past few days because of our live broadcast from Washington. So if there's something you've been, building up in your system and you've just got to talk about it, get on the line now. We've got phone lines available and time for your call. 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540 puts you through here to the Peter B. Collins Show. Well, we've hit an interesting and kind of sad marker. 2,500 American service members have lost their lives in the occupied 51st state of Iraq. And this is against the backdrop of Bush's photo op in Baghdad. He was there for about 6 hours and has declared that everything is fine. We have a great new hand-picked prime minister, al-Maliki. And he looked into his eyes. You know, he just wanted to see him face to face. And Bush is trying to capitalize on the killing last week of Zarqawi. And he wants the American people to believe that if we're patient and allow more bloodshed to occur, that we're going to have a happy ending to this episode. This unilateral elective war in Iraq. And John Boehner, who is the new majority leader in the House, a Republican from Ohio, scheduled today about 10 hours of debate. I caught early parts of it this morning on C-SPAN. And the debate is about the Iraq war, sort of. It's a very cynical maneuver because the resolution that has been offered is a cheerleader resolution. And it's a trap for Democrats because the Republicans have set this up in a way that most Democrats will not be able to support the resolution, and they're hoping to use that as a campaign issue this November. And yesterday, if you were listening, Nico Pitney from the Center for American Progress, one of the co-editors of the Daily Progress Report, shared with us a memo that fell into their lap, a secret memo regarding the strategy for the debates that are underway today. In it, Republican members of the House were instructed to invoke 9/11 as often as possible. And we all know that Iraq doesn't have nothing to do with 9/11. And I have a couple of comments here that I've seen so far. Nancy Pelosi reprised some of the remarks she made to the conference I was at in Washington on Tuesday, referring to the war as a grotesque mistake. The administration continues to dig a hole. They refuse to come up and see the light. And Sam Farr, congressman from the Central Coast, the Democrat, had this to say. I believe success in Iraq is achievable. Iraqis need to know that we don't intend to occupy their country or establish permanent bases in Iraq. Our commitment cannot and should not be open-ended. I'm not advocating a cut-and-run policy, but I do advocate an exit plan, a plan like the one laid out by my colleague, Representative Jack Murtha. Murtha, a decorated Marine who served his country with distinction in Vietnam and originally supported this war, has laid out a plan calling for redeployment of our troops. Now, this is so interesting because Karl Rove attempted to pre-inoculate the country from these remarks the other day by saying that Kerry and Murtha voted for the war, but they have lost their courage, and now they want to cut and run. And this cut-and-run phrase is fascinating because Kerry did a great job in the speech he gave in Washington on Tuesday in turning the phrase around and saying, well, it's the Republicans who cut and run from New Orleans, who cut and run from so many other important issues and problems that face us. But I think what we're seeing here is, again, a well-managed effort from the White House to manipulate American public opinion and to create a rich target with Democrats in the bullseye this November. Cynthia in Monterey, you're up first here this afternoon. Welcome to the PBD Collins
Show.
You know,
I think the Republican Rumsfeld is going to cut and run anyway once they find whatever weapons they're looking for.
Well,
I mean, how can this do anything
while,
but escalate in weapons mass production? It's just retarded, actually. But I wanted to talk about Hillary.
All right.
Not really being a progressive, even though she came from the psychedelic era. She was, Arkansas wasn't really the hubbub of progressive thinking back then.
Well, when she was growing up, she was in Wilmette, Illinois.
Still.
Okay.
I just don't think, you know, she represents a progressive viewpoint.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I will tell you that she did a great job in her speech of saying things that appeal to progressives. And she came across as, you know, supportive of families and increases in the minimum wage, very keen on environmental issues. And she's good at offering sharp criticism of the Bush administration. Where she falls down is in her own proposals and just how Republican-light so many of them are.
Well, yeah, and skulls and crossbones, and I don't know. It's like there's not fresh blood.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and I don't want to bore people by repeating things
Pelosi
I've said before. But we need a bigger
Foster
gene pool for our presidential contenders.
Yeah.
And I was talking with people in Washington saying, "Come on, let's move on from both Gore and Kerry because they bring the baggage of loss." And let's move on from Hillary Rodham Clinton because her baggage is so heavily identified that even if you could get past her bad position on Iraq and some of the triangulated centrist positions she takes, she's the worst target, the richest target, that we could serve up to the Republicans in 2008.
It would be, you know, nonstop coverage of her alleged sins.
Yeah, well, I'll go back to Whitewater and do a little rafting.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cynthia. I got to move along here. More calls coming up in the next segment, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Angelina's Bakery would like to thank and officially recognize all fathers for their hard work. And in appreciation, Angelina's Bakery would like to invite you to come by and enter to participate in a raffle in which you can win big for Dad. There will be a variety of prizes and gift card discounts for in-store use, so stop by and surprise your father. The owners and staff of Angelina's Bakery would like to thank all fathers and wish each and every father a wonderful day. Come to Angelina's Bakery and order your goodies in advance. And receive a 15% discount. Angelina's Bakery is located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside, across from Craig and Auto Parts. We'll see you at Angelina's.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio, just reminding you of our new time slot, 9 to 10 Saturday mornings on KRXA. We're your local progressive talk radio. We'll interview our homeless and our wealthiest, locals, celebrities, ordinary and extraordinary people. We keep it real here. So meet me Saturday morning right here, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. I'm Sheila Gale, and together we're Reality Radio.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters on KRXA 540 every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. We choose topics that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. You've heard what Oprah said about using intention to change your life, how celebrities like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Angelina Jolie are spotlighting important global issues we need to care about. We've had programs on the great art of storytelling and how best to love your pets. Listen to all our shows archived on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. You can also download them to your favorite MP3 player. We love to bring you programs that are truly meaningful, subjects that keep you thinking, feeling, knowing, and growing. My books, Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway, can be found at Amazon.com. So keep listening. We'll keep talking. Don't miss my show, Joan Kenley's Talking Matters, every Saturday at 3.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.
Yeah, you ain't heard nothing yet. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Put some hands together and act like you know if it is.
And we're in the free speech zone this afternoon. Your calls and comments are welcome. I've got a couple of lines open right now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792 or 1-888-579-2540, toll free. I am back on the left coast and eager to talk with you. And you can bring up any of the issues or personalities we've been talking about over the course of this week, including this issue about free speech for Code Pink. When Hillary Rodham Clinton came to the organizing group of progressives, the Take Back America conference, where I was in Washington this week. Up next, we go to Millie in Aptos. Hello, Millie. You're on the air.
Hello. Well, somebody tell me, where has Congressman Farr been when he says, well, you quoted it all. I mean, it's just so absurd.
Now, which part? The line about, I believe success in Iraq is achievable?
Yeah, but not just that. That the Iraqis should be convinced that we do not intend to stay. Who in Iraq would believe that? That we don't intend to remain, when according to Pelosi and others, 12 new bases are being built right now. I mean, how crazy can this get?
Well,
and
Millie, let me just add, there's another really contentious issue here. And at this meeting in Washington, I had a chance to talk, but not on mic, with Congresswoman Barbara Lee from Oakland, a very fiery progressive. She carried legislation that passed the House and later the Senate, which explicitly bans permanent bases in Iraq. And that issue was completely deleted from the appropriations, appropriations bill for the latest $95 billion that is mostly for the war in Iraq. And it was stripped out in the conference committee, which is a violation of the rules of the House. And this is a very serious issue, and that's what Sam Farr was attempting to address in that line. Iraqis need to know that we don't intend to occupy their country or establish permanent bases.
I didn't hear the permanent bases part that you quoted, but I guess that's correct.
And understand, he's not saying that that's our current policy. He's saying that's what it ought to be.
Yeah, okay, but he's naive if he thinks that these bases will not become de facto permanent. And here's another thing. The largest embassy in the world is being built on 10 acres in Baghdad.
Yes, it is.
You know about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, does that look like we're going to be pulling out of the place?
Did you hear the president's news conference yesterday? Because one of the things that he said, one of the messages he claims he delivered to the new leadership in Iraq, the handpicked prime minister, our new puppet, and the cabinet, was a reminder that it's their oil. And he wants them to carve it up and essentially spread the royalties among the different population groups and geographical provinces in Iraq. But I thought it was breathtaking to hear him volunteer, oh yeah, I reminded him, it's their oil.
He may say that, but that's not going to happen, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's a flat-out lie.
Yes, really. He's a liar. You're not going to like what you're going to hear from me now.
Go ahead.
Here it goes. Being a pragmatist, I have to vote for the Democrat who can win. Things are just too serious. We've got 2.5 more years of that fool, demented fool, and God knows what will happen with another 4 to 8 years. With 59,000 wounded coming in from Iraq, now I'm talking about Hillary. Where is her compassion? So regardless of all of that baggage, and including the something pink thing, that was a disgrace.
Yeah.
Regardless of that, if she's chosen for 2008, probably along with Gore, they may run together, I will support her.
Well, Millie, if it gets to that, I probably would hold my nose and do the same. But
yeah,
I'm interested in supporting other people and really trying to avoid this sense that she is just going to be coronated as the Democratic leader. And, you know, I hope we don't reach that Hobson's choice where you and I have to hold our noses and consider voting for Hillary, either for president or vice president. I'll just add one other thing, that Barack Obama gave the closing address at this conference in Washington, and he's really a guy to watch. I'd like to hear more specifics, and I want to see more detail, but he comes across as a man with great leadership potential, and at this point, I would love to see him considered as a vice presidential candidate in 2008.
I'd like to see him running with Gore.
Well, there are a lot of people at the conference talking about Gore, and in fact, Tipper Gore gave an interview to ABC News this week saying that she would agree, if Al wants to run again, to take that challenge on. And given the movie and the way it's been received, I think that Gore is attempting to test the waters and see if he could run. I could support Al Gore. I could support John Kerry, particularly with the speech he gave the other day. I was quite impressed with that. I just wish he'd given it 2 years ago. That said, my overall preference is that we reach out for new talent so that we don't give the Republicans old issues to fight about and distract voters with in 2008.
Well, I think the next time Kerry will be quick on his feet enough to slam those comments right back in their faces.
Well, I hope you're right. Thank you, Millie.
Okay,
now
bye.
To Ben and Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Kerry's done, and Sam Farr is a good man. He needs to be supported because you've got to consider the alternatives. Okay, Peter, I've been listening to those congressional hearings, and this is what I see is the fundamental flaw of it all. The stupid-ass Democrats are allowing the Republicans to define the protocol and the language. All of these voting initiatives for speak English only, then stop calling this damn thing a war. A war is a legal term declared by Congress. Call it what it is, an invasion, a police action, an occupation, which is being allowed as a method to drain and loot the national treasury into the pockets of we all know who. America is a free speech zone from border to border, from ocean to ocean. America is a free speech zone, you morons, and you get pushed into one little tiny block, 12 blocks from the White House in Washington. When you use terms like cut and run and calling this thing a war, you're letting the Republicans define the protocol and the semantics. This is
an
illegal war.
Can
you
I
need
make
to
a comment?
Get on the phone.
Hold on, Ben.
You?
Ben, we'll come back to you in just a second. Let me offer a comment here. I agree
I'm
with
sorry,
you.
I'm sorry, sir.
And once again, while I was in Washington, I heard the, I guess he's the number two or number three Democrat, the whip, Steny Hoyer of Maryland, once again criticize his colleague, Congressman Murtha, over Murtha's proposals to redeploy American forces. And he used the Republican language of precipitous withdrawal. And it is just, it pisses me off.
You're buying
when,
into
when
you're,
we hear
you're
members of the Democratic Party use that terminology. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, what we're doing, when we let them define the playing field, you people are mentally allowing yourself to be put one block in the middle of nowhere and calling it a free speech zone. So don't mentally allow yourself to be put. America is a free speech zone. Speak your piece. Use your freedoms while you still have them.
And, Ben, you can't believe how many Democrats, again, use the Republican language for the so-called war on terror or war on terrorism. It is just bizarre that people would accept that lingo because it doesn't mean anything, and it just perverts and extends the shelf life of these misguided Republican policies.
They need to get out of think. They got to think out of the box, and if necessary, run down Washington. Run down the street naked. Get Ann Coulter out there and run down the street naked. Get their attention. Don't stay in your little corral, little free speech zone like a bunch of cattle. I mean, your ancestors fought for your vote, which gives the White House is the people's house. Stand in there naked. Do what it does to get their attention. Stop using their words. Speak intelligent English. Say what you mean. And no man is above the law. And I've said enough, Peter. Thank you for being there.
Thank you, Ben. Now to Jerry in DRO. That's Delray Oaks. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Man, I'm tired listening to Ben.
Yep, he's got a lot to say, doesn't
he? Yeah, he's on it. So I'm calling because of that letter from that guy in Carmelo, the email.
Yeah, Jerry, can you get closer to your phone? Or
sorry, how's that?
Maybe it's a speakerphone. I don't know.
Hold
it's
on,
just,
let me change it.
Yeah, I'm getting a little echo there.
How's that?
Oh, that's much better.
I'm sorry. So this Leopold guy, first of all, I think you're doing a great job interviewing him. I think he's just been so abused and so maligned. And he said it very clearly today. If he was lied to by his sources, he'll reveal them. And if he hasn't been lied to and he doesn't believe he had, he won't reveal them. Now, this guy in Carmel wrote this email.
Right.
And on to the contrary to that gentleman, I hope he's listening, the fact that Karl Rove was not indicted, unfortunately, simply means to me that we have a very careful, very smart prosecutor who's not playing the political game, a la Ken Starr when they were doing the Clinton investigation.
Mm-hmm.
He's a shrewd man. He keeps it close to the vest. And quite to the contrary, I think Libby's in more trouble. because he doesn't fool lightly with the law. If he cut a deal with Rove, whatever he did, he didn't believe he had the evidence to prosecute him and win under a higher standard of evidentiary proceedings for criminal trial, or he cut a deal. So quite to the contrary, I think Libby and maybe Cheney are in deeper trouble because of Karl Rove's not being indicted.
And here's the question that occurs to me, and I don't expect that any of us have an answer at this point, but if Libby is indictable for his actions,
right,
and let's just parse, you know, a couple of the specifics. He learned about the identity of Valerie Plame Wilson from Vice President Cheney in early June.
Right.
And he later told people that he had learned about it from reporters in early July.
Right.
That was the lie that he told. That was the cover story that I think was the official talking point of the White House.
Yeah.
It's the very same thing that Karl Rove said.
Yes.
And assuming that initially Rove and Libby both told that same cover story to investigators, how is it that Libby's still indicted and Rove isn't?
Yeah, well, there's a lot we don't know, unfortunately, Peter. These things are very complicated. I don't know if it's an issue of intent or whatever.
Well, we also cannot eliminate back-channel power plays.
No, we sure can't. And I think we owe a debt of gratitude to Jason Leopold. I think he's been right on. I think I'm glad he's sticking to his guns. And you know something else, Peter? I hate to say this. I mean, I'm a little bit tired of it all. I say we move on. Whatever's going to happen, it'll happen in a court of law. We have no control over it. Let's get Democrats elected. Let's work towards that election. And, you know, what's done is done.
Okay. I hear you.
Okay, Peter.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome. Bye.
And just a quick remark. Yesterday morning, very early California time, 3 to 6 a.m., I hosted the Bill Press Show. Bill had the day off. And took a call from a contrary guy, probably a Republican, who was beating me up for being disappointed that Karl Rove had not been indicted. And he said I was guilty of wishful thinking. And so I told him I would plead guilty to misdemeanor wishful thinking. But that doesn't mean that Karl Rove didn't lie to the American people, didn't lie to the press, and to date, we're still not clear that he didn't lie to investigators. 46 minutes past the hour. There's room for more calls here in the Free Speech Zone, so grab a line, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, Riley!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect front man for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
548 now from KRXA 540. A rough commute today. We get the details from Amy Knight.
Well, not so good news for our last report. Watsonville, southbound one before Dolan Road. If the southbound lane's blocked with a five-car crash, you'll find CHP on scene, but expect delays on the southbound side of Highway 1. Northbound, just as slow as Rubbernecker stop to take a look as you make your way through Watsonville. Much better news, northbound one, as you make your way through Monterey, the wood dissipating northbound one near Aguajito and northbound one near 218. That earlier crash cleared off the city streets. Eaton at Lake, getting reports of a new accident involving a car and a pedestrian. Emergency crews just now arriving on scene. TomTom is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Have a safe drive home, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, Peter. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on into the home stretch. Joe Foreman's at the controls today. James Pena and his lovely wife, Karina, are due to deliver a baby any minute now. And we continue in the free speech zone. We've got John in Carmel Valley next. John, thanks for calling.
Peter, I couldn't agree with you more about being frustrated with Hillary. It's an interesting question whether Bill, if he were in her position now, would be more willing to take political risks than she is, but probably not, because I think they'd both say that the South is so anti-liberal that you couldn't be elected anywhere as a progressive in the South right now. And,
well, you make a very good point there, John, because I think the Clinton history, if you do combine Bill and Hillary into some sort of a political unit, is tricking arch conservatives into permitting them to get elected one way or another. And in Arkansas, Bill served for like four terms. I guess the governor only has 2 years there.
Yeah, they're two-year terms.
Right.
And he would probably say that it was quite an experience, a learning experience, to navigate the murky waters of that state, because anybody can see today that two of the most unattractive big companies, Tyson and Walmart, have been there a long time, and the Clintons must have had big-time dealings with them. I'm not saying they were corrupt, but they probably had to make a lot of decisions they wish they hadn't.
And you know about Tyson Foods, but also Hillary served on the board of directors of Walmart for a number of years. She's really cozy with those guys.
Well, someone, a friend of mine, pointed out that if it weren't for the South, the United States would probably be as liberal as Canada. And if you look at that map, the red states from the 2004 election, the whole strategy that Kerry had with John Edwards failed completely.
Not one state
was gained by having him on the ticket.
Just one quick point. My hindsight on that is that if the vice presidential candidate had been a guy named Bob Graham from Florida, that Kerry probably would have won.
Because
Graham had come out to the right of the Bush administration, but hammered them on the intelligence failures leading into Iraq. And he published a book about it, and he's kind of a, you know, old boy cracker, but he ran four times and won statewide in Florida. And John Edwards couldn't even deliver his own little state.
But a question that any historian could ponder with unendingly is, why has the South been such a bastion of conservatism, and I would say a bastion for reactionary thinking, for so long? I mean, it's the two lead feet of the nation's body, and it's been consistently
two words, it's racism and Baptists.
In fact, the religious right comes directly out of there as well, and could easily be referred to as plantation Christianity. That's a story in and of itself. I better not even get into that. Or attempt to in a little time remaining.
Remember, Hillary got in trouble for using a plantation reference on Martin Luther King Day this year, so we'll just move on. Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Joe in Brookings, Oregon. I mentioned Brookings, and son of a gun, we got a listener there. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, well, who would ever say that the Clintons were crooked? You know, and to hell with Al Gore, he ain't got the guts to take on the Clintons. Anyway, this is the same guy. You know, all he had to do was ask for a recount of the entire state of Florida, and it wouldn't have mattered how they would have counted the votes. He would have won.
Well, I certainly share your anger over both Kerry and Gore's failures to fully, assert their rights and demand an honest recount of both Florida in 2000 and Ohio in 2004. And I guess I could forgive, but maybe you can't.
Well, I would suggest someone else, because I also say, to hell with the Democrats and to hell with this two-party system. There's another important movie coming out on July the 28th, and I've mentioned it on this show before, America from Freedom to Fascism. And I think Aaron Russo, the director and producer of this, not only do I want to see him become president, I think the guy could actually win and become president. And he has talked about these issues for a long, long time.
Joe, I just got an email from a publicist for that film, and so sometime over the next 2 weeks, I hope to have Aaron Russo on the program, and we'll air that out.
Okay. But if the Democrats wanted to come up with a good ticket, and I doubt that they ever could, I would suggest John Murtha and Russell Feingold.
Well, I certainly support Feingold. Murtha is a mixed bag. I think he's done an effective job as a pro-Pentagon hawk, retired military man. But mm-hmm. He is so close to the Pentagon, such a big booster of Star Wars, and generally a fairly conservative Democrat.
Well, I realize all that, but he's somebody that really has shown some guts.
Yes, I certainly
really
agree with that.
Put himself out there.
And I'm 100% behind Russ Feingold. I would love to see him make a concerted run for president and overcome some of the objections that people expect there. Thank you very much, Joe. Now to Chris in Salinas. Hello, Chris. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hope you had a safe flight there.
Oh, I did. I do like this new airline, JetBlue, because I was able to watch The Daily Show and The Colbert Report last night while I was flying.
Well, that's great. When you mentioned Steyer, would you just add the DLC along with that? Because, I mean, he is just entrenched with them.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton
Hey, Chris, just a second. I just want to clarify because your phone broke up as you were saying that. You mentioned Steny Hoyer. He is the Democratic congressman from Maryland, and I beat him up verbally a few minutes ago because he once again was critical of the Murtha position and referred to it as precipitous withdrawal. And that quote was used against Howard Dean on the Today Show Monday morning.
I understand that. That's because he's a full-fledged member of the DLC, along with Hillary Clinton, who's a chair of the DLC. And you really got to take a look at Obama, because he goes running to wherever Rahm Emanuel sends him, like against Sigelis. He went there championing Duckworth.
And I think there's a real
problem with the DLC and the Democratic Party.
Chris? The other thing about Obama that I'm not comfortable with is that he went to Connecticut and offered his support for Joe Lieberman.
Well, he's Joe Lieberman's protege. But one other thing that I wanted to say is he voted for tort reform, so-called tort reform.
Yeah.
But also, what was your impression of the people at the meeting about the DLC? I mean, where do people stand? Did they mention that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, people did. It's interesting. I don't know if you heard the interview that we played yesterday with Susie Turnbull. She is the number two at the Democratic National Committee. And I mentioned to her that I felt that the DLC sends a message to the rest of us in the party to sit down and shut up. And I specifically cited Evan Bayh of Indiana, the senator, who, in my view, has tried to marginalize progressives on a routine basis. And she seemed a little surprised by that, but she certainly took it in, and that's an important thing for me. But yes, many people I talked to there did identify the DLC as the big problem confronting the Democratic Party's future. Chris, thanks for your call today. Trigger's here.
Gold.
I gotta go.
Happy trails to you. until we meet again.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Louisiana Congressman William Jefferson just lost his seat on the powerful Ways and Means Committee. House Democrats voted to strip him of his committee assignment while he's the subject of a bribery investigation. Jefferson refused to step down voluntarily and before the vote suggested he was the victim of racism.
It's never happened before, and the first time it's happened to an African American, and it does raise issues.
North Carolina Democrat Mel Watts chairs the Congressional Black Caucus.
Unfortunately, even at the end of the meeting, we don't know what the standard is, which is what this has been about from day one.
A former Jefferson aide and a telecommunications executive have pleaded guilty to a bribery scheme that allegedly involved Jefferson. The FBI says the congressman stashed $90,000 in bribe money in his freezer. Debate over the war in Iraq was fueled today by word that the number of U.S. military deaths has reached 2,500.
The president understands that those deaths cannot be in vain, and you've got a government now that can help ensure that that is not the case.
White House spokesman Tony Snow. The House has spent the day debating the war. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Republicans wanted this debate to make an election year case to a growingly skeptical public that the Iraq war is worth fighting. Part and parcel, says Arizona's John Shattuck, of the war on terrorism.
Reneging on our commitment to defeat terrorism in Iraq now would be a mistake of monumental proportions.
The mistake, argued New York Democrat Gerald Nadler, is staying in a war begun under false pretenses.
We should say enough already. Enough with the lies and the deceit and the evasions. Enough with the useless bloodshed.
He argues the Iraq war is not part of the war on terror. It's a distraction from it. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Ben Roethlisberger is repentant after his brush with death in a motorcycle crash. In a statement, the Pittsburgh Steelers star quarterback says he believed such an accident wouldn't happen to him, but he now realizes how risky it was to ride without a helmet. Roethlisberger vows he'll never do that again. Microsoft founder Bill Gates has announced plans for a career change.
Super geek, super philanthropist Bill Gates is transitioning away from the company he created, remaining figurehead chairman but no tech work. Within 2 years, he'll be full-time with his wife at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.